We're going to read from the Bible now. So if you've got one of these blue Bibles, it's on page 1139. It should hopefully come up on the screen as well. This is the passage that Tom's going to be speaking from in a little while. And it's Romans chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 33 to 36 on page 1139 in these church Bibles. Romans chapter 11, 33 to 36. And after this, we will stand and sing as the music begins. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
And I wonder, what did you say that you were thankful for? Maybe you had a few things. And maybe there were some things that you didn't say, that you struggled to say thank you for, some harder things. And maybe last year there were just some normal days. Some normal days that you've forgotten about. Probably had quite a few of those. Now I wonder if we packed all of those up into one big bag, we can pack them into one verse this morning. One verse that we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at now. And it's on the front of your sheets, kids. If you've got a worksheet, it's that final verse that AJ read. Romans 11, verse 36. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, kids and young people, I have got an unopened packet of sweets here. And it's managed to make it all the way through Christmas in our house without being touched, which is impressive. Now, this verse is a great one for us to learn on New Year's Eve. So if you can memorize this verse during the service and then come to me afterwards and tell me it, you can have something out of here. Now, I said kids because I've only got one pack of sweets. But adults, it would be great for you to learn as well. And we're going to spend a bit of time thinking about it now. And on the back of the worksheets, there are some quiz questions. And some of the quiz questions are for a bit later in the service. Now, we can bundle up everything we're thankful for, everything we're not sure whether we're thankful for, and everything that just happened into this verse. Because as we look back on it, we see that God is the maker of all things. It says, for from him are all things. And God keeps all things going. He sustains all things. Because for from him and through him are all things. And then it tells us that he is the reason for all things happening. For from him and through him and for him are all things. Things. We depend on God, don't we? We need him for everything. There's nothing we can do on our own. There's nothing we've ever done on our own. And everything that we do is for him. Let me tell you a story about a man. And this man is called Truman. This is what he looks like. He's from a film called The Truman Show. Now, if you're a bit older, you may remember this. The film was in 1998. And in this film, you see him living his normal life. One of those days that we've probably forgotten about. You see him getting up in the morning, cleaning his teeth, having his breakfast, maybe in the opposite order. Maybe you clean your teeth after your breakfast. And then you see him go out to work and walking to work, and all the people he talks to on his walk to work. And normally it's the same people every day because they're going the opposite way. And then he does his job, and maybe he goes and does some shopping. Then he goes home and has his tea and goes to bed. And you see a few of those normal days. And then, after a few of those days, as the film goes on, he starts to notice something weird about the town he lives in. Suddenly, he starts to think that everybody's always friendly to him. And when he goes away, that they stop doing what they're doing. He starts to think the whole world revolves around him. And actually, in the film, he'd be right. because he was the star of a TV show. And he'd actually been born into this new TV show, and he'd lived his whole life in a made-up town, and everybody was looking at him. There are cameras when he cleaned his teeth. There are cameras in his fridge when he opened the fridge to get the milk out. All the people he saw on his way to work were actors, acting for him. He was the centre of the Truman Show, the centre of the world. Well, I wonder, do you ever act like Truman? Does it ever feel like you're the centre of the world? If you're a parent, you might be smiling right now. Or if you've been a parent, you might look back and think, yeah, I know some people who have thought like that. But actually, it's not just kids who think they're the centre of the world, is it? I reckon sometimes we all have little Truman moments. And you notice them normally when you get cross about something. Because normally, it might be, at least this is for me when I was thinking about this, if I get a bit grumpy about something that's happened, it's probably because I think it should have happened my way. And it didn't happen my way. Is it just me that's had those moments? No, good. Somebody else has had those moments. Somebody else sometimes feels like they're the centre of the world. I think if we're honest, lots of us do. Well, God has got news for us. Because this verse tells us that life isn't like the Truman Show. It tells us, for from God and through God and for God are all things. He is the centre of the world. Everything is for him. And that's why we can be thankful for all of the things that happened last year. All those things we bundled up and packed into that verse, we can be thankful to God for. God made it all. He keeps it all going. And it's for him. So we can say thank you. Now, it's easy to say thank you for the good things, isn't it? It's easy to say thank you for the good things. But it can be much harder to say thank you to God for some of the hard things that have happened or are happening. But this verse tells us that all things are from God and through God and for God. So that must mean that we need to know how to think about some of these hard things that happen and God in the same sentence. Now, I wonder if there are any creative people here who have ever done any sewing. Anybody ever made a cross stitch? I haven't. There's a few. No. Well, apparently, this is what it looks like on the back. Yes, some people have. If you do a cross stitch, this is what the back looks like. You probably can't tell what that is a picture of. Somebody's spent a lot of time sewing that picture. But it doesn't look great that way around, does it? All the threads are a mess. You can't tell what it is. If we turn it round, look what it looks like. Very different. It's been said before that this is a bit like our life. We just see the underside of the cross stitch, but God sees the other side. Now, there's a poem based on this image. Let me read it to you. My life is but a weaving between the Lord and me. I cannot choose the colours. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Nor till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reasons why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver on the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing the truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him. Sometimes we don't know why things have happened or why things are happening or what's going to come next. And sometimes it can be really hard to know where to turn or who to speak to about those things. But the Bible tells us that even in those moments, we can trust in God. Now, I love the story of Daniel's three friends in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can find it in Daniel chapter 3. And there, King Nebuchadnezzar makes a giant statue. And if you know the story, you'll know that he told everybody to bow down and worship this statue. Everyone in the country had to bow down and worship it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with their catchy names, they followed God and wouldn't bow down. And so they were taken before the king. And the king said, if you don't bow down, I'll throw you into my fiery furnace. A fiery furnace so hot you'll never survive. Now, in that situation, it would be easy for them to ask, why, God, are you doing this to us? What are you doing here? They could have turned their backs on God there. But they knew who God was and they trusted him. They trusted he was powerful. They trusted he was in control and that he was good, even when their situation wasn't good. And this is what they said back to King Nebuchadnezzar. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. God is powerful. He's in control. But then get this. This is the incredible bit. But even if he does not, we will not serve your gods. Even if God doesn't do what we hope he does, we will still worship him. We will still serve him. Those hard bits of our last year, God may have chosen not to do the things that you wanted, but we can still worship him. We can still trust him that he's in control and that he is working. And the second part of our Romans 11 verse says, to him be the glory forever. Amen. That's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responded to their situation. And they were thrown into the fire. And there, they worship God. To God be the glory. To give someone glory means to praise them, to celebrate them, and to worship them. Now, a few years ago, me and my family used to live in Bournemouth, a town on the south coast. And there, they have a great football team called AFC Bournemouth. And a few years ago, AFC Bournemouth won the championship. And it was huge for the town because they come from nothing. It was a real rags to riches story. And so when they won the championship, they took the trophy and they went on a double-decker bus and they drove down along the beach, and there's a road along the front of the beach, and 60,000 people that day came out. It felt like the whole town was there along the beach. You couldn't move. Everybody came to give AFC Bournemouth the glory. Here's a grainy picture from that day. Look at all those people taking pictures, clapping. Everybody sang songs, cheered them on as they came along. There were crowds and crowds of people. They worshipped, they celebrated, and they praised. They even got champagne all over our newborn baby. When we see who God is and what God has done for us in Jesus, and we see how he keeps us going, then we can thank him for all he's done. And we can give him the glory. We can worship him. So I wonder, let's pause right there. And we're going to do that together. So, to bless the Lord is another way of saying to praise the Lord. So we're going to sing a song. Sing a song that counts up all the reasons we have. And it gets to 10,000. Well, do take your seats. And we can say amen. That's how that verse ended, with the words amen. That means I agree. So we can say amen and agree with all of that. Now we're going to have a look at the next couple of verses. So let me invite Daniel to come up. Daniel's going to come and read the next couple of verses of Romans. So from Romans 11, we move to Romans 12.
Today's reading is from Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, and on page 1139. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will.
Great. Thank you, Daniel. And this next section of Romans, these next couple of verses, help us to look forward. We've reflected and we've been thankful. Now we can look forward to next year. And how do we do that? Well, let's go back to Truman. I wonder how you'd feel if the whole world actually did revolve around you. If everybody else here was an actor just for you. Because it might seem quite appealing, mightn't it? Everybody doing things for you all the time. It all being about you. But actually, Truman found that he was trapped. It was rubbish. Everyone was always looking at him, pretending to like him. And he knew there was more to life than him being at the center of the world. He wanted to live for something bigger than himself. He wanted to find out what that was. And so, he manages to escape the fake town. He finds the end, where it's actually, the sky is just a big dome of wood. And he finds some steps, and he escapes out of his fake town. Now, we saw in our first verse that we're not the center of the world. Everything is for God. And that means we can depend on God and trust in him and be thankful to him. Now, from the verses we've just read, we see that God wants all of us. And particularly, he says he wants our bodies and he wants our minds. So let's think about those two things quickly. We've looked at that verse. Hopefully you can remember it. Here we go. He says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, our bodies means all of us. Everything we are. Everything we do. God wants us to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to him. Now, in the Old Testament, God's people offered sacrifices by killing animals as worship to God. He wants us now to give ourselves as living sacrifices, to offer everything we are, everything we do, to God. And he says, that is your true and proper worship. We've just seen that giving glory to God is worshiping, praising him, celebrating him. And to do that properly, God says, give the whole of yourself to me. It's the right way for you to live as Christians. If you were a fish, the right way for you to live would be to swim in the sea. If you were a plane, the right way for you to live would be to fly in the sky. The Apostle Paul says, for Christians, the right way for you to live is to worship God with the whole of your lives, with your whole bodies. He doesn't just want us on a Sunday morning or once a year at Christmas and then New Year's Eve to worship him. He wants everything, all of us. But why? Why do we give God everything? Now, we give God everything because of what God has done for us. Paul starts it with, in view of God's mercy. That's like a really quick way of saying everything Paul has said to us in Romans chapter 1 to the end of Romans chapter 11. If you read all of that, he's summarizing it by saying, in view of God's mercy. Everything God has done in this world and for you. Through Jesus. And John tells us the same thing in the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, kids, on your worksheet, you'll notice an intentional mistake-ish. So you need to listen to the next bit and find it to know the answer. 1 John, chapter 3, verse 16. You can find it on page 1227. In the church Bibles, it says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So he's saying the same thing. Jesus laid down his life. That's another way of saying sacrifice. And because he laid down his life, we lay down our lives. He laid down his lives because he loves us. Now, when I told you before that you weren't the center of the world, I wonder how that made you feel. Did that make you feel like you're a bit less important? Maybe I don't matter as much as I thought I did. Do you think your life is important? Do you think what happens next year for you has any meaning? Well, God says here that you do matter. That what you do this next year does have meaning. Why? Because Jesus cares for us. Because he loves us. He proves it to us by giving himself for us, by laying his life down for us, so that we can be forgiven and live with him and for him. And if all things are for him and through him and from him, then that means that you and I exist because God designed you to be exactly as you are. God made you. And that you woke up this morning because God wants you to be alive today and into this next year. And that all of that life is lived for him, according to what Paul says here in Romans. So if people ask you what the meaning of life is, there you go. God made us, he keeps us, and it's for him. Three of the best reasons to live in 2024. And if we live all our lives for him, then it makes sense that we should give all of ourselves to him. Now, what does that look like? John carries on. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So that means that to live for God means to sacrifice all of ourselves for each other. Because we're not the center of the world, that means we can put other people before ourselves. That means other people matter too. It means what other people feel and think and how they live matters. So it's worth giving up ourselves, our own comfort, our own money, our own time, our own lives for each other. And John goes on to say later on in that chapter that we've looked at, let us not love with words, but with actions and truth. So I wonder if in 2024, we as a church and as individual Christians will be known as people who love with their actions, who give the whole of themselves. Will people say that of you next year? Maybe Wood Green Church kids who give up things for each other all the time. Or Wood Green Church students and young people who sacrifice for their friends over and over again. Or Wood Green Church families who give up everything for others. Or Wood Green Church adults who are known for their generosity. Or Wood Green Church retired folk who are also adults still. Ignore the categories, they are covering everybody who give and give and give. In view of God's mercy, will we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice? Now, there's one more thing to look at as we finish. And if you're doing the worksheets, I think this might be your final question. Because Romans 12, verse 2, he says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we've talked about our bodies, and now Paul says your minds matter. What we think matters. What you say and what you say and do because of what you think. So that's why it matters what we're watching on YouTube or on TV. That's why it matters what computer games we're playing or what websites we go on. What we put into our minds over time changes how we think, how we speak, and how we act. So Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of the world. What does that mean? Now I'm going to try and do some crafting while we are talking. So, not conforming means not copying. So Paul says we should not copy the world. Don't just copy what you see your friends doing or you hear your friends saying. Don't just copy what you see on Instagram or on YouTube. Because if we copy the pattern of the world, we end up becoming a bit like the world. And that's not what God wants of his people. He doesn't want us all to be a pattern of each other. Should we see if this is going to work? If we conform to the pattern of the world, if we copy everybody else, this is what we end up looking like. There we go. We end up all looking exactly the same as the world. And that's not what God wants. What does God want? Let's hang that here somewhere. Sorry. What does God want of us? He wants Christians to stand out. So it's okay to be different, but not just for the sake of it. He wants Christians to be people who are transformed. To live like Jesus. He says there, to know God's pleasing and perfect will. Well, what's that? He tells us all through the New Testament, that is to live like Jesus. Paul wants God's people to live in the pattern of Jesus, not the pattern of the world. To copy Jesus. So, we should instead live cross-shaped lives. Copying the pattern of Jesus. Sacrificing all of ourselves and everything. It's not going to stay. Go away. There we go, so you can see. Now that will look crazy to the world because it's different. We're going to stand out. If we keep giving of ourselves, if we keep giving of our money, if we keep giving of our time, that's not how the world lives. If we sacrifice ourselves for each other, that looks crazy and people don't understand. And that's when we point them to Jesus. So, rather than copying the world and having New Year's resolutions this year, why not make these verses your aim for the year? To offer your bodies and have transformed minds and live cross-shaped lives for Jesus in 2024. Let me pray before we sing our final song. Thank you, God, so much for your words, that your word helps us reflect and be thankful that you are a God who is in control of all things. Thank you, God, that you give us purpose and you give us value and you give us meaning and you give us hope. Thank you that you lay down your life for us. And I pray that you would help us to see how incredible you are and the incredible work you've done for us in our place. And to help us give ourselves, the whole of us, to you. And to have our mind transformed so that we live cross-shaped lives in this next year to come. In Jesus' name, amen.